for the day, for mothers. Sometimes it feels like your work is mundane and repetitive and not appreciated. But remember, your labor is not in vain. And this was referred to as well this morning. David referred to Jesus having a mother in that poem he read there, that little story. Think of any heroes of faith, anybody of consequence in the Bible, be it Moses or John the Baptist or Paul, Jesus, they all had a mother. They all had needs. They all needed nurtured and cared for. And it is so true that the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But I don't want this morning to be so much about specifically biological mothers. I want to portray mothers as being nurturers, as being caregivers. And that could be done whether you have biological children or not. And I think of a couple examples in the scripture. The one is Dorcas. You remember in Acts, the Tabitha or Dorcas there. Does not say if she had children or not, but we know that she was full of good works, and it says that she sewed coats and garments for the poor, and people were really tore up when she died. Doesn't mention her children, but she was a mother. Another one I thought of was Deborah in the book of Judges, and Deborah. Remember, she judged Israel, and I actually think that maybe she probably didn't have children if she had such a high-stress, demanding job, as the people brought their problems to her, and she judged the people, and which was fine in that setting. It was God-honoring in that setting. But so just want to encourage, this is about all godly women. And we want to honor all godly women this morning. First, before we go into the main part of the message, I'd like some of the children to stand. And I think I'll have the children ages 5 to 10 stand. Could you do that if you're 5 years old up to age 10? And I don't know how many, are there any 10-year-olds here this morning? Oh yeah, Cody, okay. Anyway, for some reason I remember when I was 10, the summer I was 10, and I was kind of a bad boy. My mother believed in this verse in Proverbs that it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I remember getting quite a few spankings that summer. I was 10. And so I think my mother wanted to drive the foolishness out of me. She wanted me to grow up to be a wise man, not a foolish man. So you be thankful for the correction that your parents, or especially your mothers, give you. You may be seated. I just wanted to make sure I had your attention. Ephesians 6, verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother. I'm still talking to you children, so listen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what was that promise? Well, it goes on to say, this is the promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. I was reading yesterday a little story I want to relate. This boy, his name was Merle, and I'm guessing he was probably 10, hopefully not older than that, around 10. And he said that one time he remembers he was not honoring his mother. She told him to get out of bed in the morning. It's time to get up, Merle, because I want to wash your bedding. I want to wash the sheets. And he just laid in bed and didn't get up. It's too much work to get up. So she called him again. Merle, time to get up. I need to wash the bedding. And he still didn't get up. He was bad, wasn't he? Hope you never do that. But his mother came in, and finally she just grabbed a hold of the bedding and started dragging it off the bed. And Merle gets to the edge of the bed, tumbles out, and hits his head on the door jamb, the sharp trim or whatever, and blood all over. So his mother wasn't trying to be abusive, but it was Merle's fault, wasn't it? If he'd have responded, he wouldn't have had a cut in his head and wouldn't have needed stitches. So he was sharing that as a lesson. Honor your mother. Because the older you get, at least the older I get, the more I realize how much my mother did invest in me, or all the hard work that she put into me. So thank you for listening, children. Please keep listening. We're going to move on. I want you to picture Adam this morning. Picture Adam in the garden without woman. And we want to think of Adam as being the skeleton, kind of the structure. And if you follow me, what I mean is he was the strong one. He was the healthy man. But God said he needs a suitable companion. He is incomplete. And so God created woman. And God didn't create another Adam. He didn't create a man. No. He needed a suitable companion to refine him, to suit him, to fit him. Someone with more tenderness, someone with more feeling. So mothers and all godly women, life would be lopsided without you. And we believe that. God created you to be a nurturer. A nurturer. He created you to be a caregiver. For some reason, when my children get hurt, they don't run to me first thing. They run to their mother. And, you know, it's not that dads don't care. Dads do care, but they just do not know how to show that care sometimes, like a mother can. Nothing can beat a mother's gentle tenderness. Mothers and godly women, you add the spice and the trim. You add the seasoning and the flavor to the soup. You add the curtains and flowers. You season up the practical man's logic. You make a house a home. You flesh out the structure. You flesh out the skeleton. You flesh out the structure that the strong man prides himself in raising. And I'm sorry, far too often you are taken for granted. The man may strut around thinking how well he provides for his family, but forgetting how the wind would go out of his sails if he didn't have his gentle, tender wife, if he lost his capable, gentle woman. But lest we paint women to be all fuss and feathers, they are also immensely strong in courage, and they are also immensely strong in loyalty. I think it was, if I recall right, my wife's grandmother pioneered in northern Wisconsin there in the 1940s, I believe it was, and she helped her husband dig a well by hand. So we're talking about the other side of women, their courage and their loyalty, their capability, their fearlessness, and their hard work can often put men to shame. In the same day, a mother might be a schoolteacher, a baker, a seamstress, a nurse, and financial advisor. And then, after lunch, she takes a deep breath and becomes an interior decorator, a mechanic, gardener, secretary, and you name it. God bless our sisters and mothers. I'd like to now turn to Genesis 16. The title of the message this morning is Thou God Seest Me. Thou God Seest Me. Genesis 16, where this is taken from. A little bit of the background here. Abram, who had been promised a seed, he had said about Eliezer, you remember, he said, well, he told the Lord, he said, well, couldn't Eliezer be the heir? And God said, no, it's going to be someone, it's going to be your biological seed. And so Sarah, his wife, calls her Sarai here yet, she was frustrated. She was disappointed that she could not give Abram a son. And so she said to Abram, look, Hagar will give me a son. So they connived a little, and that's the way it was done. She gave her slave as a wife to Abram, and we're going to break in at verse 5. So Hagar was with child in verse 5, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. So it did not turn out, did it? Sarah said, you fix the problem now. And Abram turned it right back to her, didn't he? Verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, or harshly, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Okay, I want to notice a few things from this passage. We're talking about mothers, and especially mothers, the faith of mothers. We want to look at a number of accounts this morning, but what we see here is that what I would like to portray as we go through is the care that God has toward you as a mother, as a caregiver. And the angel of the Lord found her, it says. God saw her. He sent his angel. Did you ever wish for that? The angel found this pawn. He found this helpless slave woman that had been used as a pawn. And she was helpless in her master's and mistress's hands, wasn't she? And so we see here that God is keenly interested in the helpless. He is, and he always has been. He asked, "Where did you come from? Where are you going? I would like to hear your story. I want to know." Mother, have you ever felt stressed up to here? I'm sure you have. You've probably not been in the extremity that Hagar was here. And maybe the stress was through no fault of your own. Everyone wants your attention at once. Your little girl comes to you crying because she hurt herself, and your son at the same moment hollers for some clothes he can't find, and your husband wants you to run pick him up all in the same 10 minutes. And God sends an angel to care for you. What's your story? What's your plan? Just tell him, "Thou, God, seest me." God says, "Yes, I know this season of life is heavy. I know you sometimes wonder about your future. You wonder about your children, how they will turn out. And sometimes you might even wonder that you're a failure at mothering, at caregiving. But God says, I see you. I see you. Return and submit." Notice those words. Doesn't do any good to run away. Sometimes what God tells us, we wish he would tell us something different. But relax. Return and submit. The Lord hath heard thy affliction. Isaiah 30, verse 15, "For thus saith the Lord, God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." So I'd like to take a little journey through the scriptures now. And if you're able, if you could follow along as we read. First of all, let's go a few chapters over, Genesis 21. We're going to look at some mothers in extremity, I call it. And I want you to notice how God comes at just the right time. Genesis 21, that we're following a little on Hagar's story here. And just briefly catch you up what happened in between. So Hagar had the son named Ishmael. And about the time Ishmael was 13 or 14, Sarah had another son named Isaac. And he was the real heir. So this is the context here in Genesis 21. We're going to start reading at verse 14. Well, no, a little more. What happened was this teenage Ishmael, Sarah saw him mocking her son Isaac. And Isaac was, what, 2 or 3 years old probably? And so there was stress. And Sarah said to her husband, she said, send Hagar away. The son of the bondwoman will not be heir with my son. So verse 14, and it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. She sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. She went and filled the bottle with water, gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer." Okay, God came at the right time. He's always faithful in your extremity. Let's move to Exodus chapter 2. I want you to notice how many times we're going to read, "Fear not." We just read it there in Genesis 21. Exodus 2, we're going to start reading at verse 1. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." And we are so familiar with this story that we are not attached emotionally to it, are we? But imagine the mother's anguish and agony as she puts that 3-month child into the ark and lets him in the river, vulnerable. Verse 4, "And his sister stood afar off to wit," or to see, "what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew's children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son." Now, don't you think that was beyond Jochebed's wildest imagination here, that she would be able to take that helpless baby back to her and nurse him and care for him for, I don't know. It doesn't say how old he was when she gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter, but it could well be that she had a number of years with him. God is faithful. 1 Kings 17, let's turn there. Kings 17, verse 8. Now, right before this, Elijah was at the brook Cherith. The ravens were bringing him bread and meat. Verse 8, 1 Kings 17. "And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, 'Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' She said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me, and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me there a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.' And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." Fear not. Mothers of faith, fear not. And she went and did. She placed her foot into the water. She went, and in her turmoil, she baked a cake for Elijah first. Imagine that. And then God acted on her faith. 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. It says this: Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, or we'd say slaves. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour it out unto all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Go, borrow. That's the lesson I wanted to get from this passage. Go, borrow. And sometimes mothers, that takes humility. I don't know what it would have been like if, can you put yourself in this woman's shoes to go around to all the neighbors and, hey, I'd like some empty cans and pots here, and say, what do you want them for? Well, I'm supposed to pour out the jug of oil I have into all these, and imagine what sense that made. But go borrow. Sometimes God asks us to do that, to make ourselves vulnerable. Humble yourself, woman of God. Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. It reminded me of that verse. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I want to look at two in the New Testament yet. Matthew 15, verse 21. It says, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, even as you want. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, we don't know why Jesus acted this way to her, do we? Were we talking about that, Tommy, the other evening, the same passage here? It seemed kind of like Jesus was rude. I mean, it just really seems that way, doesn't it? But Jesus had a plan. One of the things I see here is, am I satisfied to just ask once or twice in my desperation? I mean, is it desperation if I only ask once or twice? She asked what was it, three times? In a sense, yes. Are you desperate or are you easily offended? Think about that godly woman this morning. She could have been so easily offended, couldn't she have? Okay, then. Are you desperate? Are you timid, woman of God, or do you come boldly to the throne of grace to find help? This reminds me of a small poem I found that says this. I quote, "Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to you with my empty cup, uncertain in asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known you better, I'd have come running with a bucket." Let's go to John 19. John 19, and just a couple verses here that would be the ultimate challenge for a mother, I think. John 19, verse 25, just gives us a little picture. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. From that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." And we just want to imagine with me the brutality of the scene. And it just gives us a little picture, but this faithful mother, with a mother heart of tenderness, seeing her son's broken, battered, bleeding body hanging on the cross, exposed as a spectacle of mockery and cruelty to the whole world. What a scene. But this mother, Jesus' mother, had the faith and the courage not run away. She had the faith and the courage to support her son in his anguish instead of becoming bitter and going to pieces. She trusted. She had faith. And that's powerful to me. I want to think yet about what I just simply called it this, a good day as a mother. A good day as a mother, and then I want to give you just a few references. I'm sure you have your own powerful scriptures that support you, but if this is helpful, write them down. A good day as a mother, Psalm 5, verse 3, says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up," and we'll look up. So don't go on a guilt trip if you don't come to the Lord in the morning always. But we can in some way. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, and I'm going to look up for strength, for courage." Next one, Psalm 68, verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. Daily loadeth us with benefits. We get the picture of a overflowing wagon of benefits. Psalm 23, verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Again, a picture of abundance. God's mercy to me as a mother. Do you remember the account in Matthew 25? I'm sure you do. When Jesus gives the judgment scene. Something I've thought of in there, that if you are a mother here this morning and you wish, if you're a mother, if you're a daughter or any godly woman here and you wish you could do bigger things. It says here in Matthew 25, 34, it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Do you think that could be a mother? You know, we read that and we think, well, that's going out into the world. That's traveling. That's doing this and that. But I would like to think of it as a mother in her duties. Wife, mother, daughter, you may wish to do bigger things than prepare food. You wish you would do bigger things than wash clothes, clean the house. But look. Look here, doesn't this sound like a mother, this verse? Sick, and you visited me. Maybe it was in the middle of the night. Your son, your daughter. Hungry, you made a meal. Thirsty, how many drinks do you give? Naked, you made some clothes. You went to the sewing machine. I was in prison. I was tied up in knots in my head. And you counseled me, you gave me some good counsel as a mother. Last verse I have, no, there's two more. And these are from the Old Testament. But Job 23, verse 10. This is Job's statement of faith. And I believe you can claim it as a godly woman. It says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And Lamentations 3, 57 and 58. This will be the concluding verse. "Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, Fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life." Fear not. I was going to say one thing yet on the, back when I was talking about who do children run to, the dad or the mom for nurture, for compassion, for care. And you know, we read, we know that in physical warfare that many a man has been dying or lying wounded on the battlefield calling for his mother. And maybe, young men, you feel a lot bigger than that. Maybe you feel stronger. I would never do something like that. I don't need my mother anymore. But something about that is powerful to me, the connection to the mother being the nurturer, the caregiver. So today, and in all days, children, adults, thank your mother. Honor your mother. And honoring is much more than words. It only begins with words, right? It only begins with words. Remember that poem, and I wish I would have taken time to find it, but it went something like this. "I love you, mother," said little Fran or whatever her name was, and she said she loved her mother, but then she went and tormented her sister or something and caused more work for her mother. And I love you, mother, said little John, but he went and did something that wasn't loving. And it went on and on. So may our actions speak loud. May our actions truly show honor. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.